flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joseph Hoyt, All City Dallas, about to join us here in the G-Bag Nation as we talk all things Cowboys. And he's been boots on the ground covering the East-West Shrine Bowl. Those practices taking off there in Denton, Datku Stadium. Of course, the game will be next week at AT&T. As of now, nothing official, but everything seems to be pointing towards Brian Schottenheimer as the next coach of the Cowboys. Hour number five, the power hour of the G-Bag Nation. Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo, Lucius Alexander, Carter Freeman's been running your video as we wind things down here, and we welcome in our buddy Joe Hoyt. And Joe, how the hell are you, man? First off, I know you've been working hard at the Shrine Bowl. What stood out to you so far today over there?
Yeah, we had some interviews today, talked to some people, talked to Shiloh Sanders, Colorado defensive back, and kind of asked him, like, hey, what's it like going through the process with your brother? He goes, hey, I think we'd be good package deal together. And I said, well, what about dad? And he said, yeah, we'll see. I think that he's happy where he's at. So just a little inclination there as, you know, the Cowboys coaching search kind of converges with the Shrine Bowl this weekend and all the Colorado and Sanders attention here.
So as this week has been an absolute whirlwind, it went from like, okay, all signs are pointing to Brian Schottenheimer, then all of a sudden you had Rich Bisaccia and Pete Carroll, then Carroll gets the Vegas job. How's this been for you so far? What are your thoughts on where the Cowboys are leaning?
Yeah, it's funny because I tweeted this yesterday, but the last coaching search I covered before this was SMU when they lost Sonny Dykes, and they had already had Rhett Lashley up and ready to go by the time before Sonny Dykes was even announced as the TCU head coach. So it was very quick and simple. And this search has been a little bit different. There's been a lot of twists and turns, but the name that has been a constant through all of it for me from the day that Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys split has been Brian Schottenheimer. You know, people told me keep an eye on him. It could be a thing, and that's obviously developed to a point where he's not only had one but two interviews. And you start to look at the field that's been kind of presented to the Cowboys, and you know, the two Rooney Rule potential candidates have already been ruled out. I mean, you know, Robert Saleh really quickly. Then you got Kellen Moore still kind of waiting in the wings. But from what I've heard, and my understanding is Schottenheimer is definitely the favorite. And it almost feels like an inevitable wave that's just waiting to crash at this point.
Joe Hoyt, All City Dallas with us. You can follow him at Joe J. Hoyt. That's H-O-Y-T on the Twitters. What do you make of some of the Jason Witten stuff behind the scenes? Has that been a little bit overblown, or do you think that there's still a very real possibility he's on staff?
I think there's a very real possibility he'll end up on staff. I think the big thing is, I think if Kellen Moore was the head coach, I could 100% see that being a possibility. You know, and I do think with Schottenheimer, it also is a possibility. But I think in terms of the, you know, bridge to Witten plan, you know, that's something that I've been kind of cautioned over the last few days is like, hey, you know, who knows? You know, I still could see a situation where Jason Witten ends up on staff. You know, James Slater reported that, you know, he could have been a candidate to join Mike McCarthy's staff as well. Obviously, Jason Witten is well liked by the Joneses. They got a high regard for him. You know, one thing I heard is, hey, you know, people might kind of, you know, turn their nose up at high school coaching, but he's done an excellent job at Argyle Liberty Christian, obviously winning a state championship there and kind of turning that program around. And, you know, with his pass as a really good, obviously, NFL tight end, paired with his ability to coach, the fact that he could be a position coach on this Cowboys staff is not an overblown possibility moving forward.
What about defensively, defensive coordinator stuff? You just lose Al Harris, trying to figure out who's going to be the guy there.
No, that's a great question. I think, to be honest with you, I haven't heard much on defensive coordinator stuff. You know, I don't think Mike Zimmer would be a possibility under Brian Schottenheimer. I know Brian's attested to that too. And so I think that that's kind of a little bit of an unknown right now. You wonder, like, okay, who could they potentially retain on staff to maybe get that promotion? I haven't heard many names defensively associated with Brian Schottenheimer as a possibility. So I think that that's something that, you know, over the next few days, you know, I think, you know, Monday or Sunday marks good times where the Cowboys could actually move forward and make Brian Schottenheimer the next head coach. You know, I think Sunday, obviously, with the NFC East Championship, a.k.a. the NFC Championship happening, that could be a good way to kind of get in the news before, you know, your two rivals duke it out for a Super Bowl trip. But I could see something happen Monday. And after that, I feel like we'll just get some more smoke on potential defensive staff members.
Joe, I'm probably going to put you in a bad spot, but here we go. Do you think this hire was made because of Dak Prescott or is going to be made because of Dak Prescott?
I think, you know, that's not a bad spot to be in. I mean, bad question, because I think ultimately that's where all this kind of does revolve around. We had Dak Prescott texted Clarence on our show that he's a big fan of Brian Schottenheimer. I've heard that he's a major advocate for him. And, you know, and I think when you look at Dak Prescott's deal, you know, when you signed Dak Prescott to the deal you did, you tied yourself to him for the near future, right? And I think that that's one thing I've heard from a Cowboys coaching perspective is that they want someone, you know, that guaranteed for, you know what, 2 to 3 years, right? Someone that, like, hey, gives them the chance to ride out with Dak Prescott to a point where they could potentially move off that deal, hypothetically, if things don't go well, or they can earn themselves all a second contract and move forward to the future together. You know, I think that anything you do in mind, you know, from a head coaching standpoint has to involve the perspective of your franchise quarterback, the highest paid player in the NFL. And but the one thing I've heard about Schottenheimer, you know, he was on offense. He was an offensive analyst, but he worked a lot with the defense, right?
Sure did, yeah.
And I've heard from multiple players that this is a guy that can relate to them as well, you know, not just offensively, that he's a guy that can command the locker room. And I think that this hire would potentially play well with multiple people moving forward.
Joe, we kind of got some vibes that maybe that Jerry Jones might be the one that's kind of saying, well, do we really want to do this? If you had to guess, and there it was actually maybe Jerry wanted somebody, who do you think that Jerry did want? I mean, they're going to line up and say Schottenheimer's their guy and all that, but deep down inside, you know, Jerry Jones, you pull him aside at his party or something, he'll probably tell you who he wanted. Did he have an idea who he wanted?
Yeah, I think, you know, to be honest, like, I think the thing with Jerry, and, you know, this is, I haven't been on the beat very long, but one thing I've kind of ascertained pretty quickly is that Jerry likes to canvas, right? He likes to talk to people. He likes to get the vibes of a lot of different people. And that might not mean that that's the way he's going, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's why you had a phone call to Pete Carroll this week, you know, to figure a little bit more about Brian Schottenheimer and potentially other interests. I think that's why Rich Bisaccia got, you know, a call potentially. I think that Jerry is going to make it, you know, talk to a lot of people before he makes his decision.
Sure.
I'll be honest, but the one thing I've heard, and I kind of subdued it a little bit early on, I do think that there's intrigue in the potential hire of Deion Sanders. I don't think the buyout would be a thing that he'd want to do, frankly, but I do think that there's this idea of saying, you know what if we brought Deion to Dallas and saw what he could do with the Cowboys? And I mean, the marketing possibilities are endless right there. So I do think, you know, in the heart of hearts of Jerry Jones, there is intrigue about the idea of Deion Sanders being the head coach of the Cowboys.
I totally agree with you on that. I think that if, you know, I think Jerry got talked out of this one, you know, and everybody rallied against him. And I think Jerry Jones legitimately wanted Deion Sanders. And, you know, it's a shame they didn't get the opportunity to try and make this thing work.
Yeah, no, I think it would. I mean, it makes a lot of sense why Deion would do well here. And, you know, I was just talking to Shiloh about this too. I mean, you look at what he did at Jackson State and kind of what he built that up, and then goes to Colorado, and now they're selling out seats and everything. And ultimately, this is a $10 billion business. And, you know, what's a great way to not only ensure sustaining that profit, but progressing it? I mean, I think Deion Sanders would do wonders. But I also think that there's intrigue about just the person and what he could do from a locker room standpoint too.
Yeah.
I also think too, at the end of the day, the reality is Deion Sanders has a contract extension potentially waiting for him at Colorado, right? And it's the NIL era, and he wants a little bit more ammo potentially. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, when you see Nick Saban talking about Deion Sanders as he should be the Cowboys coach, when you see other people bringing it up, it makes sense from a leverage/negotiating standpoint over in Boulder as well.
Joe Hoyt in the G-Bag Nation, All City Dallas with us. Joe, this is just me thinking here. It's weird that we keep hearing continuity, but it seems like maybe that's only towards the offensive side of the football, because now you've got
Al Harris out. I don't know if Mike Zimmer's coming back. Bowen's Fossil's gone for special teams. So great to have Shoddy, and I guess he does have a relationship, to your point, with the defense. But you're looking at a second straight year of now having a new defensive coordinator. So I don't know. I mean, they stress comfort and continuity, but is it only offense that matters?
That's a great question, and I think when you look at I think to your point, if defense was the prime matter, why didn't you interview Mike Zimmer to be the head coach, right?
Yep, absolutely.
You know, if you wanted to if you wanted to keep continuity from an entire team perspective, go give Mike Zimmer a shot, and you know, maybe try to make Brian Schottenheimer your offensive coordinator. I don't know if that tandem would have worked. I haven't really inquired into that potential tandem, but you know, to your point, yeah, I think everything does revolve around Dak Prescott in Dallas, and I think everything revolves around the offense and trying to make sure that that has the most continuity and comfortability moving forward. You know, I'm very curious to see who ends up being the defensive coordinator for whoever is hired, though I think it's Schottenheimer still in my gut, because I think Micah Parsons is a guy that has Hall of Fame aspirations. He's a guy that wants to be in a system that fits for him. You know, I think him and Mike Zimmer had breakfast almost every single day in Oxnard trying to figure out how do we make this best for us. So I think that's a guy that's going to have a lot of influence, too, ultimately. But to your point, obviously the care goes to the offensive side first.
No chance they circle back and maybe they rehash a conversation with Mike McCarthy. Is that just totally off the table?
I think it's off the table. And that's more of a reading of the tea leaves rather than I've heard that there's 100% no chance. But I don't think that Mike McCarthy appreciated the position he was put into this last year.
Agreed.
If you look around the league, how many coaches get put into the last year of their deal on an expiring contract? It really doesn't happen. It happens here in Dallas all the time. And, you know, you talk to players. I remember talking to one player, you know, probably middle of the way through the season. And I was just like, hey, you know, does it click in your mind that, like, if you guys don't perform, that your coaches are out of the jobs too, even though you might have security? He's like, yeah, it bothers me every day. Like, it bothers me that we're losing. It was amidst the 5-game losing streak. I want to make sure that these guys have jobs because I care about them. So I just think from an ecosystem standpoint, Mike McCarthy just experienced it. You know, Ty Dunn had an article where, you know, Mike McCarthy seems fed up too. And I have kind of heard rumblings of the same thing in terms of what you have to deal with when you're the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys and America's team. And I'm just not sure that that's something Mike McCarthy would want to circle back to. Plus, Mike's is a guy with a lot of pride. The idea of walking away from a deal because of potential lack of security and then returning to that lack of security just doesn't vibe with me.
Joe, I did want to pick your brain on your Oregon Duck head coach, Dan Lanning. Now, obviously, this is not an option for the Dallas Cowboys, but that was kind of a dream of mine. I didn't think Dan Lanning could be a Jimmy Johnson-esque type of guy, making that jump from the college to the pros. Being a big-time Oregon Duck fan, watching him week in and week out, do you think he's just built for the college game, or do you also think he could work in the NFL?
I think when you talk about guys that are motivational, you start to wonder, okay, is it a shtick that motivates? You know, like, are you the motivation only for the younger guy that hasn't been experienced in terms of, you know, growing older? Does it work in college versus the NFL? And I think Dan Lanning personally has the ability to ignite a locker room that's not just a shtick, right? You know, I think if you kind of look back at this year, they did a behind-the-scenes look at every single week in order of their preparation. And Dan Lanning thinks just so creatively in terms of how he motivates. You know, he called them apex predators and you know, and then he would do these whole presentations on how, hey, you're new to this ecosystem, the Big Ten, but now you're going to change it forever because that's what apex predators do. And it's just like weird things like that where it's like, how did you even think that? And, you know, even me, I'm like, you know what, that motivates me and I want to run through a wall. I think he might not be a former player, right? But I do think he has that Dan Campbell-esque motivational ability. And I think moving forward, you're going to see a lot of NFL teams say, hey, we wanted to find the next Deebo Samuel, right? And we found that was pretty hard in terms of finding a guy that fits that mold. Well, I think a lot of NFL teams are going to try to find the next Dan Campbell, and it's going to be hard to find. Maybe one's residing in Eugene if they wanted to look at it.
Oof, I love that, Joe. You're the best, brother. Where can people find you if they want more?
Yeah, over at All City, Monday through Friday, writing there, talking there. And then Joe J. Hoyt on X, formerly Twitter, and that's where I'll be posting updates and trying to follow when this thing could potentially get some resolution here. I don't think it's happening tonight, everyone, and if it does, then I'll happily take egg on my face, but I don't think it's happening tonight. So,
thank you, brother. Well, you go home, get yourself some rest. I'm looking forward to your coverage with the Shrine Bowl and everything else. You're the best, brother. We'll talk with you soon.
Yeah, take care, fellas. Enjoy talking with you.
There he goes, Joseph Hoyt, All City Dallas, with us here in the G-Bag Nation. Speaking of timing, I did see, like, Jane Slater was talking about this as well. But Sunday morning, and Joe kind of flirted this idea, could you get a Sunday morning hiring of Brian Schottenheimer? Pat Doney said, why do I feel like Brian Schottenheimer going to be announced Sunday, making the Cowboys the top story on a conference championship Sunday when they aren't even playing? Jane, quote, tweeting it or quote, Xing it, this Monday presser, Jerry Moore Media at Senior Bowl Tuesday. Does that feel like a timeline that would kind of make sense, Brian?
I kind of have a feeling that if Jerry then wouldn't go to the Senior Bowl, so now there's a bunch of guys and gals that were planning on going to the Senior Bowl and now have to scramble back. So I know that Nick Harris was even, there might be potential at Nick Harris and those guys where if there was a press conference that they would have to come back, but they wouldn't get to go down to Mobile. I don't know if Nick's listening right now. He can text in or something, but yeah, I don't know. I don't think he wants to do anything really. I could be way wrong about this, but I keep saying this. The league really doesn't want you doing anything on championship weekend or Super Bowl weekend. They just really don't. And Jerry could say, F you, we're going to do what we want to do. I wouldn't be surprised if it was Monday, and then that way that allowed Jerry to, Jerry and Schottenheimer's, those guys would not go to the Senior Bowl. It's just probably all scouts. But at least if they had a Monday press conference, that allowed Jerry to get down there Tuesday, Wednesday and see some stuff at the Senior Bowl. But I just don't think the league really wants you making any type of announcements before their big games.
Mm-hmm.
But Jerry could also say, I could say F you.
Yeah. Look, it was the Sunday of the regular season they announced the Dak deal. So, maybe that works for them. And then all week long in that off week before the Super Bowl, it's, hey, here's your new Cowboys head coach. You can talk about that. A lot of people texting in like, wait a minute, what happened to Al Harris? Yeah, we reported the last hour. Patrick Walker, DallasCowboys.com. Al Harris has left. He is going to join Ben Johnson's staff in Chicago. He is going to be their passing game coordinator. So Al Harris is out. Robert Prince, Cowboys wide receivers coach, former Cowboys wide receivers coach. He will also be going to Miami to take on the receivers coaching job there. Jordan Lewis has also voiced appreciation for Al Harris, quote, tweeting Patrick Walker's story. Yeah, pimp. I mean, Jordan Lewis is a free agent. Does he say, hey, maybe that's more intriguing to me to say bye-bye, and I'm going to go rejoin my guy Al Harris there in Chicago. Who knows? A lot of moving parts. Cowboys coaching staff is all moving throughout the rest of the National Football League, and they still don't have a resolution of who their coach is going to be. And I saw the Bears also working to finalize a deal to make former Lions wide receiver Antoine Randle-L their new assistant head coach and wide receiver coach. He was on staff with Ben Johnson in Chicago as well. So all of this happening in real time.
Ben Johnson likes the former players just like Dan Campbell, right?
Sure does. I mean,
half of Dan Campbell's staff, it felt like, was former players. Ben Johnson taking a page out of his book.
And a lot that now Dan Campbell is going to have to go ahead and replace. Yeah. Mike Curtis, from a Mavs standpoint, guards Klay Thompson and Jaden Hardy have both been upgraded to questionable for tomorrow's NBA Finals rematch of the AAC against the Celtics. Najee Marshall will still be out with illness. Dwight Powell, right hip strain, he's going to remain out as well. But maybe you get Klay and Jaden Hardy back. It'd be great to see Klay. That's kind of a big reason you got him, was because you missed that firepower against Boston in the finals. How does he do in a rematch?
That's an early game, right? 4:30?
4 o'clock, I think, yeah.
Weird tip time.
It is a weird tip time. As we get into Friday news time.
Yeah, we have championship game closing arguments, plus all your need-to-know info before the weekend kicks off next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Nation. Welcome to the Friday News Dump here in the G-Bag Nation, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you in. Crosstalk with Fan After Dark, Blake Elliott, and the three-time Hall of Famer, Chris Arnold, taking you from 7 to 11 here on a Football Friday segment here in the Nation, brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Also brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay, let's have some closing arguments here for the championship games before we go around some of the other hot item news stories here. Got some really delicious ones here momentarily, but I did see from BetMGM, they're hoping for a Chiefs-Eagles Super Bowl. Apparently the public is all over the underdogs to win. And Chiefs-Eagles would generate great action for the Super Bowl, they say. Saquon and Josh Allen staying out of the end zone would be great for the books. Apparently, everybody is just hammering an anytime touchdown between Saquon and Josh Allen. That makes a ton of sense. And, of course, we need the under in both of these semifinal matchups as well. That according to a trading manager for BetMGM. So that's where things stand there. Apparently,
Saquon Barkley.
Apparently, yeah, keeping Shayshon out of the end zone is going to be borderline impossible unless he just has like 50-yard runs that end at the 1-yard line and then they tush push it or something. And then he gets vultured. But I would almost guarantee a 25-plus yard touchdown run from Shayshon versus these Commanders. It looks like Dave Portnoy has put $1 million bet on the Bills at plus 550 to win the Super Bowl.
Wow.
He did it earlier this week on Sunday or Monday, he did it. So that'll win him over $5 million if it comes to fruition. I know you guys are both picking Bills and Commanders, right, to be the Super Bowl?
Yes, I am. That's my
you want that in.
Yeah.
You want it more than you think it's going to happen, maybe?
I think the Bills is going to happen. I think the Eagles probably beat the Commanders, but I'm just going to go with the Commanders.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a truly outstanding game, and Jaden Daniels certainly, I mean, the Commanders have
my LSU quarterback.
Yeah, understandably. I mean, and they have the better quarterback. There's no doubt about it. I'm interested to see what version of Jalen Hurts we get in terms of just, like, physically how he's holding up. I'm sure the Toradol is just going to be coursing through his veins, and man, you just struggle to imagine that the Commanders' defense will be able to slow down the rushing attack of the Eagles. But, I mean, you can't put anything past the Commanders based on what they just did going into Detroit. But the home field advantage, I think, is going to play a large part in both of these games. And one of the things about the last matchup between the Commanders and the Eagles was the Eagles not having Dallas Goedert at tight end, and he is obviously somebody that just allows for, I mean, the tight end screen game, just big, another element to the passing game, the security blanket for Jalen Hurts. I think that's going to be something that'll be a pretty big factor here, and it's just an over-under of 39.5 receiving yards for Dallas Goedert. I think you hit that over and feel pretty dang good about it. Now, on the Chiefs and Bills side of things, you know, one of the reasons to be a little bit concerned here, if you're a Chiefs fan, we know the dominance of this Bills rushing attack with Josh Allen and James Cook. And what is it, Gilliam that they run out there, physical guy?
Ray Davis.
Who's got Gilliam?
Who's Gilliam? Wayne Gilliam?
One of these teams is running out of Gilliam. That's Gilliam? Pretty good. I thought it was the Bills. But either way, their rushing attack is just ridiculous. And the first 11 games of the season, the Chiefs' run defense was fantastic. And then the last six games, they're giving up over 100 yards per game on the ground and over 5 yards per carry. So the Chiefs' run defense has started to wane a little bit. And, of course, you just never know what Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs in general, always just rising when it matters. But, like, you would expect them to have the best performance that they could possibly have. But when you're getting run on like that, Josh Allen and James Cook coming to town, heavy set offensive lines just trying to bully you, taking care of the football. I mean, if I'm a Chiefs fan, that gives me great concern. And we talked about Khalil Shakir out of the slot yesterday a little bit and wondering whether or not Trent McDuffie, who's a guy who can play outside and inside. But it sounds like they're hell-bent on keeping McDuffie on the boundary. And they have Shamari Connor as their nickel corner. He can blitz and do a couple of things like that. But in coverage, he's been, I think from a success rate standpoint, out of the slot, he's been the second worst nickel corner in all of football this year. Khalil Shakir, even like a Dalton Kincaid out of the slot.
Yeah.
If Shamari Connor is the guy that you can pick on here, and Josh Allen was picking on the backup corner in the last game because Jalen Watson was not in the game. Yeah. But now, of course, Watson's back.
Mm-hmm.
But Shamari Connor is going to be a guy that I think they have circled, and they're going to be trying to pick on him left and right. So I mean, how does Spags combat that?
Right. And I can understand, like, even though Amari Cooper's been quiet so far, I could still get wanting to make sure Amari Cooper's not the guy that beats me. Like, he's the one that's probably the best resume of anybody the Bills have. But maybe he ends up, if Shakir's giving him issues. It looks like there is a Reggie Gilliam who's behind James Cook, Ray Davis, and Ty Johnson on the depth chart.
Is that guy?
So maybe it's Reggie Gilliam
there.
He's going to just run over people.
Well, they've put him in as like a power back kind of guy.
Short yardage. Let's go.
Short yardage, exactly. We know Kareem Hunt does the same thing for the Chiefs, and I'm just interested to see how different this Chiefs offense looks on Sunday compared to what we've seen throughout the year, because I just feel like Andy Reid and company, they toy around with things, and then once it's big game must win time, all of a sudden you see sort of the real version of their offense. And they dealt with so many injuries this year, so they had to play around stylistically with what they could do. But now Hollywood Brown, of course, being in the saddle, Pacheco back, I think that makes a huge difference for them. And last year, they had their best performance of the year versus Buffalo in the playoffs. Offensively, they kind of were slogging through the season last year, and then they scored 27 points on 7 drives, a 4 points per drive number in that playoff game versus the Bills last year, which is an absolute elite number. You can never put anything past Andy Reid, Pat Mahomes, playoff time, AFC championship time. You are going to get the best version of them. And both teams that take care of the football, I think the Bills safety, Taylor Rapp, being out with the hip injury, and now you have rookie safety Cole Bishop in the mix here, there's going to be a giant target on his back as well. Yeah, so, I
absolutely. Mean... Now, Cole Bishop, not a bad player out of Utah.
No.
Solid tape there. Second round pick. Cole Bishop might be up for the task here.
Well, he's gonna have his hands full. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you go to as a rookie, you're not expecting to start, and all of a sudden you find yourself at Arrowhead versus championship Mahomes. That's gonna be a tall order. No question about it. Okay, I do want to play this sound. This is perhaps the greatest losing speech I've ever heard in my life. And it recirculated this week. It's Ray Lewis with the Ravens after they lost in 2008, the rookie Joe Flacco year, in the AFC Championship game. And if whatever teams lose this weekend, instead of having somebody gather the team and try and give them some words of wisdom, I would just fire this up on the projector screen. Take it away, Ray Lewis.
I'm going to tell y'all, God has never made a mistake. He's never made one mistake. All right? So it ain't about one play. It ain't about nothing. This year, we did what we were supposed to do. We fought as a team. We fought as a team. There will be one Super Bowl champ crowned at the end of this year. That's it. So the way we feel, somebody going to feel like that tomorrow, and somebody going to feel like that in a week. That's a fact. And the fact is, we got to come back and go to work to make sure we finish it next time. That's all we got to do. Remember that, man. God has never made a mistake. But we done came too far to drop our head. Joe, you played your ass off. You hear me, man? I'm telling you, man. Don't ever drop your head when it comes to a loss, dog. Because there's too much pain outside of this that people really going through. This right here makes us stronger. Let's understand who we are as a team. Let's understand who we are as men. And let's make somebody smile when we walk out of here. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah, we lost the game, but so what? So what? Mm. I kept something inside of me so bad last night. A 17-year-old child. You know about the child, coach. He passed 10 a.m. yesterday morning. A bone cancer. His mama called me bowling.
So sometimes you're going to ask yourself, how great is your pain? If he give you enough of the opportunity to come back and do it again. We got an opportunity to keep going, man. Let's be strong as a team, man. Let's be who we are. Ravens on three. 1, 2, 3.
Ravens.
Goodness gracious. All time, dude. Absolutely all time stuff there from a shirtless Ray Lewis in the middle of the locker room after losing the AFC championship game. And hopefully the Eagles are finding themselves in a similar position.
You think Kellen's going to stand up there and deliver that speech?
No.
You think Kellen Moore's going to stand up there and...
I don't anticipate Kellen Moore doing
without
much
shirt
in the way
on,
of anything.
Without his shirt on, yeah. Deliver the speech? On. You think? I was just curious.
That would be the most shocking thing that could come from championship weekend is us seeing a video Sunday night from the Eagles locker room of
right. Kellen doing
Moore.
A Ray Lewis.
All right.
Channeling.
We just heard from Ray Lewis. Let's now hear from Kellen Moore.
Kellen, take it away.
Oh, my gosh. That's so good.
I'm surprised Ray Lewis hasn't been getting any of these coaching options, speeches like that. Man, we got all these former players out here, head coaches.
Bring this guy in.
Ray Lewis, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Get him in the mix, dude. Okay.
Look at your background when they do these things, these coaching searches.
Come on, Brian.
Where's the suit, Ray?
I'm just asking. Yeah, we want to hire Ray Lewis. Somebody get security on the phone. We need to kind of confirm this if we can get this one done.
By the way, the Gilliam guy is their fullback monster. He goes when they go two back sets.
Okay, I just was
this dude is he's been punishing people, and their two back sets for the Bills have been absolutely dominant over the last few weeks, including like versus the Broncos, which
I was
is
looking
one of the
up.
Best run defenses in the sport.
Yeah.
And they put Gilliam in there and they just go heavy set. I'm telling you, that scares me as somebody who thinks the Chiefs is going to win this football game.
I know, you're out on an island.
I am out on an island.
I need a life raft.
I'm on Chiefs
Somebody
Island
get me
right
a
now.
Life raft.
Lone wolf.
I don't know
on
about
the
picking these Chiefs. I don't know. God, it's a little shaky. Oh.
It's a little risky this time.
Who's ever picked the Chiefs?
I'm going out on a limb. Okay, how about the ice cream sandwich news that we've received?
This is heavenly news.
Which one did
so
you
pumped.
See? Because I saw two of them.
Okay, the Eggo waffles.
The Eggo waffle, that's how I was going
to
start off.
I don't know about
here.
This other one, so I'm excited to find out. But the Eggo waffle, like, why have we not been doing this?
Yeah, they have three different flavors, blueberry, buttery maple, and chocolatey chip. And this is your classic Eggo situation, but they're acting as the buns, if you will, on an ice cream sandwich. I used to eat Eggos religiously, and the idea that you could get that
now.
And
then you started doing extra podcasts and other that to pay for, like, real food and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Your kids eat those little waffles and stuff like that?
No, my wife won't allow that stuff in my house.
She won't allow an Eggo waffle in your house?
I can't
sneak it. What kind of breakfast do, like, your little girls eat? I mean, do they eat bananas?
So they will do, the banana.
Brown beef.
The bananas are big. We'll do the banana.
Hog's blood.
The banana pancakes.
Hog's blood.
Dude, you just mash a banana in a bowl, you crack an egg in it, and you stir it on up and just pour it into the pan, and the rest takes care of itself. It's really
so
the
it's
easiest,
like a,
cheapest thing you can do.
So
one egg, one banana,
so
and that
like
kid's
a
happy.
Scrambled banana egg?
Yeah, but you're not really scrambling it.
But you said pour it in the pan?
Yeah.
It's like an omelet almost.
Are they eating it raw?
No, you're cooking it.
Excuse me.
Okay. It comes out like a pancake.
Oh, okay.
It's
I see what you're doing.
It's mushed up banana with an egg in there.
Okay.
So that's a hot commodity. We'll do like little egg tacos as well.
Egg taco.
Maybe some like just like egg and cheese.
Oh,
egg and cheese tacos.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I was
absolutely.
Thinking maybe the egg was the taco vessel.
Yeah,
I was too.
Because we're doing. I mean, yeah. That's kind of what I was picturing too.
I make a mean egg and cheese taco, dude. I really do. And then you know maybe just some yogurt with some fruit or something like that, or like a protein shake. My kids love protein shakes.
With peanut butter.
My 2-year-old, yeah, with peanut butter. Just be like, let's
your
get
kids
the
ever experienced like McDonald's and stuff like that?
They have, yes, they
like,
absolutely
like a
have.
Like a burger, cheeseburger.
Well, I mean, Chuck E. Cheese is the birthday spot.
Chuck E. Cheese, the birthday spot.
Okay,
yeah, like we,
right, cool.
like we just conveniently will be like, sure, well, we're gonna have McDonald's right now, but God help us if we have Eggos in our freezer. You know what I mean?
That's where we draw the line.
I was about to say, where we draw the line?
It's very, very hypocritical.
Gosh,
but the Eggo waffle ice cream sandwiches look outstanding. And then if you just thought it couldn't get any better, here we are with the Rice Krispies releasing
what?
New ice cream and ice cream sandwiches. So you could just get, I mean, it's the same idea, but it's Rice Krispies as the buns,
on the Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah, Rice Krispie treats.
With the ice cream between them.
That's awesome.
I'm telling you what, just slap two Pop-Tarts between ice cream and you'll thank me later with the frosting on them and stuff.
Ooh, that could be divine.
Wow, shout out to diabetes.
I'm just telling you, man.
All of this is sponsored by dialysis.
Just take two Pop-Tarts with the frosting on them and put vanilla ice cream in between the two of them and you'll thank me later.
Love that idea. Yeah. All right, Crosstalk with Fan After Dark next year in the nation.
Thank you, Lucius. Vegas Golden Knights up 1-0 on our Dallas Stars at the AAC. This game a national tilt on ESPN. So even if you're not able to get it on Victory Plus, you can go ahead and watch it on ESPN. It was Jack Eichel with his second power play goal of the season. Both of them have come against the Dallas Stars after Jamie Benn went into the box for a hooking call. So with 15.5 to play in the first period, Stars already down one.
Broadus does not like that.
Oh, okay. He was really ticked. There was F-bombs flying. Let's welcome in tonight's edition of the Fads, the Fan After Dark, okay? It is indeed Blake Elliott and the three-time Hall of Famer, Chris Arnold.
I'm so glad to join you guys because I also listen to 105.3 The Food.
There you go,
yeah,
baby.
That's us, the food.
You're a big peanut butter fan. I know this about you.
That's exactly when I got in my car when y'all were talking about peanut butter shakes, and me and the lady were quickly picked up on the topic. That's how y'all were doing such a great job describing it.
Thank you.
Because I didn't hear the beginning, and I was like, they got to be talking about shakes, because I myself made a peanut butter shake this morning.
Did we sound fat as we talked about it?
No, yeah. I thought y'all were connoisseurs of food and shakes.
Hey, I actually had my peanut butter smoothie on the way in.
Let's go.
I was in the Smoothie King line when I heard you guys do this. And it's called the Ultimate Warrior. I think that's the name of that, whatever the concoction is. And it's got like blueberries and it's, you know, so they talked about the peanut butter with the, and then I always have a peanut butter. It's a Justin's peanut butter cup, the dark chocolate.
Yes.
And it's good for you.
Dude, I heard you talking about the Justin's peanut butter cups.
Yes.
They are so much better. You get them at Trader Joe's.
Yes.
They are.
Or Whole Foods.
Delicious.
Yes, they are.
Absolutely
so, I'm
fantastic.
I'm a peanut butter man. And you know what? That's good fat, and it also relieves your appetite so you're not hungry. So if you're ever, it's like, I'm so hungry, I got to eat, have a spoonful of peanut butter.
Boom. Satiating.
It's money right there.
A fact from 105.3 The Food.
105.3 The Food. That's what we do here. What do you guys have coming up on the show, Mr. UCLA Bruins?
Yeah, you know I love the college sweaters. I'm actually quite mad for two reasons. One, because I do not know where I put my headphones, and I only put them in my bag. So that's reason number one. Reason number two being when I was leaving the house, I needed to get my little... Everyone's got their vice. Everyone's got their fix. And for mine, it's, you know, getting a little Call of Duty in. So I had time for one Call of Duty match. Boom. Competitive. Get in there. Think I'm going to win. Head out the door being good vibes. No, I got stomped on. We lost, and they were talking, saying mean things to me over the game. So it didn't put me in a great mood. So I needed to get a little comfort food, and I did that. But at 7:20, we'll be obviously still continue talking about the Cowboys head coaching search. Going to add a new name in there that I think will be interesting. I think Cowboys fans will like. I think he was on the Rich Eisen show the other day kind of talking about wanting to be part of the staff. So I think it'll be an interesting
time. I saw a
random
name last night on TV.
Which one?
They said... I'm not
Stars
making this
goal.
Up.
There we go.
Yeah.
Power play. Sorry,
goal.
Chris. Power play goal.
Rope his.
Rope.
All right.
So, Mavericks game on last night.
Good job last night, Chris. Really.
Yeah.
Good job, yeah.
You got us that dub, bro.
Let me tell you something. That's a team that Mavericks might not go all the way to the finals again this year, but they own Oklahoma City.
They sure do.
But the name I saw on TV, this is on Channel 8. You're on the Chiron.
WFFA.
WFAA. They were doing a press conference with the coach, and it said Cowboys coach Jason Kidd. I swear to God, it said Cowboys coach Jason Kidd.
And breaking
said,
news.
Breaking news.
Cowboys coach. News.
Cowboys
coach. Why not?
Tolos, 877-81-1053. I'm not the only one. I saw this on Twitter as well.
I think WFFA just rolls off the tongue a lot smoother than the double A's. I think the double F's is a better flow. I was just trying to help out their business model, so I think it might be something they can add to their new commercial.
Yeah, trying to help out their business.
I got a question for you guys, and I've been sitting on it all day.
Yeah, what do you got for me?
Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, who's got more pressure on them going into this game? I think there's a case for both, with Patrick Mahomes on the brink of history, and maybe the pressure of that building be the first person to three-peat. And then obviously with Josh Allen never beating Patrick Mahomes.
I don't think it's close, personally. Okay. I think it's Josh Allen by a landslide. I mean, you're 0-4 against Mahomes
you
in the
also
playoffs
are,
if you lose this game.
You're an underdog on the road versus a team that lost one time with their starter. So I feel like Josh Allen, if he plays a good game, might not get as much criticism. So I think he's you don't think he has any kind of escape? You think if he loses,
I think for him and the Bills, it's like, okay, again, you're now 0-4 against the Chiefs. You just can't get over the hump. You had him at home last year. You weren't able to beat him. This year, everything's going well. The turnovers are down. You've got a good running game. I just, for Mahomes, it's like, dude, you expect them to be there every year. This is their seventh straight AFC title game. For Josh Allen, I think it's... I think he's dealing with it.
I think
right
Josh
now.
Allen obviously has more to lose, but I think the pressure is somewhat. I mean, it's pressure for the game in general, but I think the pressure as far as the outcome of it, there's
historic.
There's a good amount on
the
three-peat Patrick Mahomes.
Like, there's pressure there.
I will say this. Yeah. I will say this. Allen has had one hell of a year as far as not turning the ball over for any reason, and so this might be his greatest shot. But this could go down to like Brady versus Peyton Manning, their careers. Where Peyton got to the Super Bowl without having to go through the Patriots that year. You follow where I'm going with that? In other words, if Josh Allen loses this game on Sunday, there might be a year where the Chiefs aren't there, and then he gets his Super Bowl ring. So with Patrick Mahomes, they're not going to get a three in a row again. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if they'll even do a repeat. So, and they've had pressure on them ever since they won the Super Bowl because they got a target on their back. And to lose only one game this year with that target on your back, and Brian knows this, the Cowboys used to back in the day, that was the other team's Super Bowl every freaking game. That was that other team's Super Bowl to say they beat the Cowboys. And that's the way it is for the Chiefs this past year.
Chiafalo, the Eagles-Commanders game, when you look at just the side of the Eagles, what player on that team or staff member, anyone that's involved with the team, has the most to lose in that game? I'm interested in your thought on that.
Oh, I mean, it's got to be, Sirianni and Hurts both.
Okay.
Those are the two that I would say have the most pressure on them for sure. Mm-hmm. I think the difference in the game, among a handful of things, I think the Sam Cosmi injury on the interior of the offensive line for the Commanders, Jalen Carter's probably going to have himself quite the afternoon.
Does he get a sack? He doesn't take sacks.
An abundance of pressures, but maybe no sack.
Unless Jalen Carter's in the building.
I mean, if a sack was going to happen, it would happen this week. Jalen Carter, Cosmi out, big game. I don't think he's going to play a bad game, Jaden Daniels, but I feel like if there was, somebody's going to ruffle him, number one defense, Jalen Carter, best O-lineman out, so...
Yep. Fellas, we appreciate it. Looking forward to it. That is the Fan After Dark 7-11 on behalf of Gavin Dawson, Brian Broaddus, Eric Giafalo, Lucius Alexander. Again, 5 hours flawless. A superb show. Carter Freeman. I'm Zach Wolchek. Until Monday, hugs and hand pounds, everybody.